The SOS Radio Podcast.
Life issues, artist interviews, and faith.
Downloading now.
We're talking to Chris Cleveland from Stars Go Dim on SOS Radio. How are you?
What up? Doing good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So when you were 5 years old,
okay,
what did you think you would be doing as a job today?
Oh, man, probably... Here's what I always thought in my head. It like stayed all the way through. Like I was either going to be a doctor. I really thought so because I grew up having like a lot of surgeries and stuff. So I'm completely deaf in my left ear. So that's the serious thing. So I thought maybe I'll be an ear doctor. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll be in the NBA. And then it turned out that I'm 6 feet tall and kind of slightly above average basketball player. And so I actually went to college, played basketball in college, broke my ankle, and realized I was just really average after that. So I always was either doctor, MBA, or music all the way through, and I just couldn't do school anymore. Broke my ankle, and I guess this was my third choice. I don't know.
By default, I'm doing music. So what was that like? Okay, you broke your ankle. I mean, were you devastated? Were you actually thinking, like, basketball is something I might pursue, or did you already know at that time? My life.
I had always done music, honestly, I had, and basketball was one of those things that I couldn't let go of. It was like a deal that it was part of me every day, all day kind of thing. So when that happened, I was like, okay, it was kind of it's cool to let this go now. And I couldn't run or jump for like a year, which is crazy. I tend to do that to myself every once in a while, like these crazy injuries, but that's what happens when you're competitive and active.
For real. So you have 3 kids now.
Yes.
How are you going to handle sports now that they all want to do different activities?
What's interesting is like each kid is a little bit different. Kingston, my oldest, he turns 6 next week, and I don't know how much of an athlete he's going to be. He doesn't get like the team sport thing. He doesn't like get like the get direction type thing. But he's really into basketball, which I'm kind of excited about. So I've been trying to like, I'm not a very good coach because I'm not very patient. I want him to like do it right all the time. But he's honestly been really good. Parker Joe, she's my 4-year-old, she's almost 5. She might be an athlete. She like goes out there, she did soccer. As soon as she got in the game, she runs out there, scores a goal, and then just walks off. She's like, I'm done. She just thought the game was over when that happened. And then we've got Chase, he's gonna be 3 in July. And he's probably gonna be the best at everything because he can kind of like see everybody trying to do stuff. So I don't know, we'll figure it out. But hopefully I'm the irrational dad, like yelling on the sidelines, getting kicked out of games and stuff. No, probably not. My wife won't let me. She won't even let me play church league sports anymore because I get too competitive. So I'm going to have to like sit in the car and watch the kids play from a distance or put a muzzle on, you know, it'll be good.
That's why you got to sign up to coach, because then you're allowed to say whatever you want. And you're allowed to critique
like
the other people's kids if you want.
Is that what you do?
It is actually what I do.
I love it. Maybe I'll take that up. We'll see if my wife will let me do that. I have to keep my Christian witness somehow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I've had a couple encounters on the soccer field, I'm just saying. Wasn't necessarily my fault, but somehow I get pulled into it.
See how it goes. I'd like to think I've gotten a little more mature as I've grown older, but I don't know. I haven't been tested. We'll see.
The true test of man's faith is on the soccer field.
Can you not get crazy at your 5-year-old soccer game? We'll see. Be a normal human being, please.
Can you please not yell at the 15-year-old referees?
Yeah, exactly. Poor kids getting paid like with a slice of pizza and Mountain Dew. Oh, I feel so bad for them.
Sounds like radio.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right, that's Chris Cleveland from Stars Go Dim on SOS Radio. Tell us the story behind that song, Chris.
Man, so this song and a lot of the new songs that I'm releasing right now are really autobiographical of the last couple of years of my life. So we know each other from back in the Tulsa days, and now I live in Nashville, and we've been there about a year and a half. And I was a worship leader at a big old church in Tulsa for a decade and did that and toured full time. And I have 3 crazy little kids and a wife at home that's way too good for me. And I would travel around. I was gone 8 months a year and for about 3 years. And when I was home, I was leading worship at this mega church and just had no time for family. And it, Heaven on Earth came out of this time where I knew God was saying, hey, you can't sustain. You've got to rest. And kind of feeling myself falling into just the motions of ministry. So honestly, God kind of not so subtly forced me into a season of rest, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And that song kind of came from that, like, help me rest when I should rest, help me go where I should go and do, and just see the work that you're doing so then I can re-engage and really be set on fire in a new way. Which is awesome because it kind of led into the next year of our lives and some of these new songs that are coming out. So we started with Heaven on Earth, and I kind of went into some rest period. My wife and I, we sold our house in Tulsa. I stepped away from the ministry that I've been in for 10 years at the church. We moved to Nashville, and I took 6 months off. I think I ran into you during my 6 months at some point like, I was stir crazy, man, and I felt like I wasn't doing anything, but just writing some songs. And what was crazy about that time was I realized that I had canceled all of my star stuff. I was away from the church. I realized that I put so much of my identity in who I was as a worship leader, or who I was as a performer or a singer. I had wrapped up my entire worth in a skill or in something I was. And I think a lot of us do that, whether it's, you know, our bank account or whatever it is, you know, these things that we're good at, these things that we find our value and truth in. So I got about 4 months into my 6 months of really just trying to figure out who I was, how to be a dad again, how to be a husband again, which is an awesome experience. But I also was having an identity crisis. And in the midst of that, I wrote another new song, and it started ministering to me kind of in the midst. I'd like throw the demo on and be like, oh my gosh, God, you gave me the song for this moment. And it started speaking to me, because when I didn't know who I was, Christ started to tell me who I was. And the first thing it was, listen, you're not the sum of all of this stuff. You're not your talent, you're not your skill, you're not what you do, you're not the money in the bank, you're not this, that, you're not any of it. You're who I say you are. And I say you're honest. And I say you're good. And I say you're worthy. And I say you're loved. And it's this new song that we have coming out called You Know Me Better. And man, it really pulled me out of some depths and honestly allowed me to really dig in with my family and figure out really how to be a dad and be a husband. And so we finished that time, and it was an incredible time. I was able to take my kids to like soccer practice and do normal dad stuff. I was able to, you know, go to church with my wife for the first time ever and really dig in with her and repair a lot of the relationship that we had going on. And then was able to restart this ministry and the middle of the year last year and start bringing you guys new music. It's just been an awesome, awesome season of growth and of learning who I am in Christ. And the cool thing is, it's like, for me, it's coming to the realization of who God made us to be in the beginning. It's not like we attain anything or we go and we do anything and it makes us great. And it's not like we need these things to like come and save us from all these crazy things. It's like, no, God created us in His image. Like, we're co-heirs with Christ. It was an awakening to who He'd already made me.
As Christ starts to tell us who we are in regard to our real identity, what does that tangible shift look like from owning the fact that we placed our identity in something like a skill or like a job to actually saying, okay, now I know that God's saying all these other things value and all these other things are who I am inside, but how do I really take that on so that I'm not just a performance person, or I'm not just a person that focuses on money, or I'm not focusing on how I feel on the inside?
I think that's the hardest and the easiest thing. Like, you hear about all these things and they seem like such simple concepts, but they're really difficult. And it took me honestly coming to a place of true faith, maybe for the first time in my life. I canceled 6 months of shows, which is the only way I make money, right? And I had placed money on a big pedestal in my life. And I knew I was gonna run out at some point. And at some point, God kept providing. And I kept going to Him and I said, listen, if you want me to do music, you've got to book the shows. I can't do this anymore. I can't take the responsibility of it. Like, God, you've got our life. You've got my family. You've got our finances. You've got this stuff. It's really giving those pieces up. There was more freedom in that than I'd ever felt. And one morning, and this was my experience, and it was kind of a light bulb situation. And I don't know if this is the same for everybody, but I was reading my little YouVersion app, sent me this random scripture, and it was one that's based on Jesus talking. He says, I want your joy to be my joy and your joy to be complete. And I started really thinking about it. Like, what is Christ's joy? Like, what is that? And like really kind of thinking like, God wants us not to just like be reserved to get through this life. God doesn't want us to just be like, well, heaven's coming. That's not the point of the Gospels. That's not the point of life. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And I think a lot of us, and I myself, were kind of in a point where it's like, well, sometimes life sucks and we're going to get through it. But Christ has such a bigger plan for us when we can step into His joy, which involves faith, but it really involves knowing who we are and understanding that, listen, a church isn't going to save you. All these things, money's not going to save you. All of these little things that we put our identity into, or we think, if I just do this, then I won't feel this way, or I'll feel better. Listen, you have to love yourself. You have to treat yourself with kindness before you can ever treat anyone else with kindness. And Christ tells us that too. I want my joy to be your joy. I want to be complete. And that morning we went to church and they were talking about when, was it Peter that gets out of the boat? Yeah. And he's standing on the water. And a lot of times we think about that in faith and then he kind of loses his faith and Jesus saves the day, you know. But I had this like vision, and I'm not one to say that I'm not uber spiritual where I feel like I hear the voice of God by any means, but like in my mind, as clear as day, God was saying, get out of the boat and run. Like, I don't want you to just stand on the water. I want you to get out and just haul. And that is the joy that I want in your life. And it just clicked. And for me, I've woke up every morning since then. I said, God, I'm getting out of the boat today and I'm running. And whatever you have for me, I trust that you're faithful and you'll provide. I know who I am in you, and take this day together. And it's been a complete and utter life-changing experience.
We're talking to Chris Cleveland from Stars Go Dim on SOS Radio. And Chris, you led worship at a megachurch in Tulsa for like 10 years. I mean, it's one of the largest Methodist churches in the entire country.
Yeah.
What did you learn about music from actually leading worship that long?
I think the cool thing about music is that it's about what it does for people and how it brings them together. So one of the things I love about worship leading is the same thing I love about like what you guys do here at your radio station, and that's the community that it revolves around and creates. And so, you know, my favorite thing leading worship was building teams and being around those people, and then being in the room and seeing so many people lift their voices up together. And so when I see like things you guys are doing in your community, you guys are always doing these service projects where people from the town are coming in and doing these huge things. Like, to me, that's the point. We're just the soundtrack to it, and we're the vehicle in which those type of things can happen. So to me, it's like this language and this feeling that can bring people from all over the world, all different walks of life, all different viewpoints and places, and it brings people together. And I think that's one of the most incredible things that I take from kind of what we do now and what I've done at the church.
I saw you went to the daddy-daughter dance this week with your daughter, Parker Joe.
Yeah, man.
How was that?
It was crazy. So,
did you got to eat beforehand?
Oh, man, we hit up Chick-fil-A. It was a pretty good deal. She got this beautiful dress. My mom was in town helping out because I've been on the road a bunch, and she came home. I didn't even know there was a daddy-daughter dance. She's in like the pre-K program, so she came and kind of timidly asked if I would go. I was like, yeah. So they went and bought this dress and did this. So she was so excited, curled her hair and did all this stuff. But her mom was out of town, so she got a little bit emotional and wasn't sure if she wanted to go after she got all, you know, dressed up. So I was like, let's just go get a strawberry shake, you know, at Chick-fil-A. And we did. And she felt good. We went to the dance, and then we got in there, just like all these dads like standing around the thing and their kids like just going crazy. Parker just, she wanted a balloon, and she just ran around hitting a balloon, you know, for an hour, and we went home. But man, it's so incredible. And that's the kind of thing, being able to dive into life like we're doing in Tennessee and kind of life change, that's the big win for me. I can be home and do that kind of stuff. So it's just awesome.
So Chris, what's God taught you about joy from your little girl?
Oh, Parker is the happiest little girl I've ever seen. She like can't be sad for very long. So I've never seen somebody in any situation be able to find pure joy and happiness and laughter in it. And when she laughed, it's like a gut laugh every time. And it's like, man, I just, like, that's the kind of joy I want in my life, you know? And I can look at her and just see like, gosh, I just want this uninhibited happiness and joy in my life. So I look at Parker Joe. She's also a little crazy. So she pulls a lot of tricks. She thinks she's funny. She does a lot of things that, you know, make you want to like throw her out the window or something. She's the sweetest kid As soon as she's done, she's like the Sour Patch Kid. As soon as she's done doing something sour, she wraps it up with something sweet. So it's awesome.
Wait till she's a teenager.
Oh, I can't. Oh, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
We're talking to Chris Cleveland from Stars Go Dim on SOS Radio. All right. Earliest musical memory, Chris.
Oh, man. Okay. So my parents sang in like this gospel quartet when I was a kid. So they would travel around and do like, y'all remember revivals back in the day? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they would travel around and do that. And they'd bring me and my brother up on stage and we'd sing a song like with my dad or mom. And we'd sing songs together. So I vividly remember at some point, I have to be forced into the spotlight. I've learned how to be kind of type A because of being a lead singer for 12 or 13 years. But before, I would like keep my back to an audience and like didn't want to do anything. So as a kid, I was very timid. I'd sing really quietly. And I remember as plain as day, I couldn't have been 4 years old singing. And I was singing really quietly and my mom got on to me. I got in trouble for like being timid and singing. And so now if you come see me in a show live, I'm just yelling at you. And it's all my mom's fault because at 4 years old, she reprimanded me for not singing loud enough. Now I just scream at people.
All right, first album you bought with your own money.
You're going to like both of these. It was either Petra, Midnight Oil, which is full circle. I played with John Schlitt the other day, and it was
nice.
I had to tell him
nice.
That. It was awesome. Like, my dad was stoked about that. So he was like a big rocker, and then when he got saved, he like saved his radio, you know, when they did that back then, you know. And so he got rid of all his records, and Petra was his band, you know. But there was also a Michael W. Smith, I think it was Go West, Young Man. And I would go to sleep every night to the song Do You Dream of Me off of that record. I'm not even lying. So, M-Dub, if you're out there, I've still not met Michael. I need to meet that guy. If you're out there, I've got that record memorized. I can come play for you.
All right, what song reminds you of high school, Chris?
What's that? Do, 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 do. Any Third Eye Blind song, like... You know, like 90s, I guess I was in high school like at the very end of the 90s, early 2000s. So my wife drags me to all their shows now. I've probably seen them more than anybody, and I'm not even a huge fan. But probably one of those songs.
All right, what's one song you wish you wrote?
Oh, man. I'll tell you a recent one, because I'm going to play it in a couple of days. Just randomly, I don't ever do covers, hardly ever. I've done like one or two. And I heard this song the other day, I played it, and it's just beautiful. It's a song by Casey Musgraves called Rainbow. It is one of the most beautiful songs, and so simple and awesome message.
And what's one album that really spoke into your life at a time where you just needed something?
I think there have been a lot of different albums. Now I'll say this musically for me. The album that influenced me probably the most was that first Justified Justin Timberlake record. I put it in my car, turn it up, and then just sing with him until I could mimic every lick. You know, I just go toe-to-toe with Justin Timberlake as much as I could. And then, man, there's been so much over the years that I've loved. That one was probably the most influential in, like, me singing, though.
I was actually talking to him 10 or 15 years ago, and he was saying that in Suit and Tie, there's, like, 34 writing credits on it. It's like 34 people that all spoke into making that one
probably
song.
Like six different groups of six guys, you know? It's like, that makes a lot of sense.
Pretty much every Beyonce and Jay-Z song anymore.
Way. It's because there are all these writing teams that like speak into it or do a verse or whatever it is, yeah.
No wonder they're catchy, right?
It's a good song.
Well, we're talking to Chris Cleveland from Stars Go Dim on SOS Radio. Thanks for coming in today.
Dude, thank you.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.